I invite your attention to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, I'd like to share a few meditational thoughts on this beautiful Christmas passage. It is a blessing to see everyone here, and it's something very special about the Christmas Day service. So only about one time in 7 years it falls on a Sunday, so it's good to be together in this way. I did make a commitment to a few brothers to hold me accountable to not hold anyone late today, because I know we have, many of us have plans or Christmas gatherings. So I'm going to very quickly share a few meditational thoughts in Matthew chapter 1. Now, actually, why don't we all stand together? You're at Matthew chapter 1. Let's all stand together and read 18 through 25. Here we go. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being in is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had her firstborn son. And she called his name Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to real quickly draw maybe three quick points out of this text, and I think I'm just going to state the points. And you can put the beautiful meat on the points. And I would like to illustrate something as well. The points that I'd like to just quickly refer to is, and in the Christmas story, I think you all agree that sometimes we get distracted. In the Christmas season, we get distracted. And three simple points that I'd like to remind us of in the passage that we just read that is powerful is, number one, and you could call these three wonders that you could find in this passage. And the first one is that God became flesh. That's powerful and impossible for anyone to explain, that God became flesh. Charles Wesley tried it when he said, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. I mean, think about the maker of the universe that's bigger than the universe, that holds the whole universe in the hollow of his hand, becoming a microscopic embryo and being fully dependent physically on a godly young lady. That is just marvelous. The incarnation, that God became flesh. Secondly, another amazing wonder is the fact that God chose to dwell with his people. Wesley again tried to capture it when he said, hate that when your thought just slips away, but it's in the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He said something to the effect of, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And we could go into the text that we just read and talk about the beauty of Emmanuel. How in this Christmas season and story, don't forget to marvel at the fact that Jesus chose to walk with man. And you'll find him taking him, making himself of himself no reputation, the form of a servant, and just becoming one of us. That's a marvel in itself. But the greatest of all is the fact that he came to save his people from their sins. And we would do well to just stop and meditate on the fact of the Savior. And each Christmas season, it would do all of us well to just stop. And I know we don't live in the past, and we don't walk in the past, but sometimes a look at who we were before Christ is just a healthy exercise in seeing who Christ is and what he's done for us. And the whole fact, the darkness of my sin, the darkness of your sin, that's why he came. Jesus, it wasn't the many things that surround our minds at Christmas time. The overarching theme always is and should be that he came to save his people from their sins. So those are three quick, short points that I would like to remind us all of. And I'm going to borrow an illustration from the fish wrapper. It blessed my heart as I read it. Some of you maybe already know where I'm going with this if you read the fish wrapper. How many of you read the story about the candles, the four candles in the fish wrapper? I figured several of you did. Beautiful. It goes something like this, where there's four candles in a room, and I forget the exact name of them, but one of them was love, one of them was joy. Was it peace was the third one? Maybe faith was in there. I'm not sure, but it don't really matter. If we would pull out three words that often are synonymous with our Christmas celebration, we would probably say one is definitely joy. Joy to the world. And another one is probably peace. The angels just said, the first angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. So often Christmas cards have the connotation of peace. And I think another real good one would be love or goodwill, just how there's to be to love in the world. Well, anyway, there was three candles in the room. Now, this one here doesn't seem to be glowing like it should be, but three candles in the room, and they were kind of talking, and they were just discouraged. Maybe a little like I was at Walmart just yesterday. I went into Walmart. Anybody here? I won't ask for a raise of hand, but anybody just frantically going to Walmart for a last-minute thing? My wife and I made an observation that there's a lot of men doing a last-minute thing at Walmart, and we also noticed that the men were at the candles and the cards. Quick, easy, late things for men to do. And I actually noted that the cards for the wives were almost all gone at one place, and lots of cards for men. So the wives probably did a whole lot more for the men than cards. But anyway, where was I? I was at Walmart, and I felt a little bit like this. I was walking into Walmart, and there was a pedestrian. And if you cross the pedestrian line at Walmart on Christmas Eve, you know what I'm talking about, because it's hard. You may as well make a left and skirt it, because you sometimes wait a long time for all the pedestrians that are just... Anyway, there's a little bit of conflict between a motorist and a pedestrian. And I think they were both wrong. That's usually how it is in conflict. There's a lot of blame on both sides. But the pedestrian had no... I mean, just arrogant. Like, I'm here, what are you doing here? And then a reaction from the motorist. Where's the peace on earth, goodwill to men? You know what I'm talking about? I go into Walmart and it's just as congested in there. And there was a large group of people flocked around one attraction, and I don't even know what it was. But there was somebody with the cart. You know, you've been there, right? Waiting to get through. Maybe you even held somebody up, but oh, I'm so sorry. Well, this person was not sorry for being a holdup, and this person was not sorry for displaying disgust. And finally, a worker from Walmart said, excuse me, could you please excuse yourself? They're trying to get through with the cart. And if you could have saw the look on the person that was trying to push the cart. If looks could kill, I think we would have saw a few deceased people at Walmart because they were so upset. And again, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, that candle's not behaving, but sometimes in life, we get a little disturbed. And it does seem that love is distinguished. And sometimes it does seem like joy, the joy of Jesus, is distinguished. And sometimes it seems like there's no peace. There it goes. And that's the illustration that you read in the fish wrapper, if you read it. And it's a sad picture. There the candles are. They're meant to give warmth. They're meant to give glow. They're meant to have an effect in the world. Maybe you read the other story in the same magazine about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, great poet and one of America's best, wrote that great epic Evangeline that some of you remember reading. Yeah. That leaves the two couples in there. Anyway, that's another story. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a piece called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Morning, something like that. And I never knew that he wrote that. And I read the lyrics to it. Very interesting story about him. He lost his wife. He had a tragic, his wife met a tragic death because her dress caught on fire. And he went in a chapter of his life of deep grief. He was often alone, couldn't talk, but yet he continued writing. And he wrote, he wanted to write a Christmas piece. And he started, and he wrote, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And after the second stanza, he wrote the second stanza, which I don't have here, and then he continued, and he wanted to continue writing, and then he thought about the condition of the country. And this was in the time of the era of the Civil War, where the Civil War was raging, brother fought against brother, father against son, and he hung his head, and here's what he wrote. Maybe you caught it in this carol before, but I missed it. He wrote, and in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then in the last, that verse is supposed to bring a little bit of sadness. It's like I felt at Walmart. It's like I feel many times. It's like we feel many times when we look around. Where is the peace on earth? Where is the goodwill to men? And then he writes the last stanza, and he wrote, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, while peace with peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's powerful. The wrong will fail. It will. And the right will prevail. That's a fact. Now back to this little illustration. There was one more candle. And this candle is called Hope. Now, Nate, I find it interesting that you led the song, To Us a Child of Hope is Born. That's powerful. When there is hope, I don't care if it's still smoldering or I don't care if it's smoking. I don't care if it's completely out. While there's hope, there's still a possibility of every one of these being lit. Now, this one's being real contrary, so we'll come back to this one. I forget, what was this one? This one was joy, right? Or this one was peace? Hope will always be able to ignite all three beautiful candles again. Hope is Jesus. There's a few times in the Bible that say, no hope. That's the saddest set of words in the Bible. But it's always connected to without Christ. So with Christ, Jason and Jamie, I thought about you as you look into the eyes of the children that are abused and neglected. Do you ever tempted to think there's no hope? Yesterday, we invited someone to Joyce's Christmas gathering that if I would explain the situation to you, there's some details that can't even be shared publicly. It's a young man that knows he never received a gift. He was told that the Bible's a myth, and he don't believe in Christmas, but he wanted to see a Christmas gathering. I tell you what, that made me motivated to just share hope with that person. So wherever we're at, we're going to see situations that there seems to be no hope. But with Jesus alive and well in our hearts, it doesn't matter if the flame is like that. It doesn't matter if the flame is out. Hope is powerful. And hope can bring healing and peace and joy, even in a land where that's war-torn, ravaged, it doesn't matter. As bleak as it may look, wrong will fail and right will prevail. And you know why? Because Jesus is going to be the victor, and we get to be part of it. Isn't that exciting? So hopefully this morning, as we gathered together and we just looked at Luke chapter 2 in the Sunday school lesson, we heard an excerpt from Mexico. We saw some little ones sing. And I hope and pray that this illustration, the word, will motivate us to be messengers of hope. Let's all stand together for a closing prayer. And Nate, if you'll just lead in a song after that. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this Christmas season. And I just pray a special blessing on each person that came out here this morning. I pray that motivation, encouragement, strength, peace, love, joy could be our portion as we go from here to serve, all because of Jesus. I pray a special blessing on Jason and Jamie as they serve in Mexico. I pray a special blessing, Lord, on all the workers there, as Roger labors there this morning. I pray a blessing on him. I pray, Lord, that every person that is serving you elsewhere would just be strengthened and encouraged. And Lord, thank you for this Christmas season. I pray that you would be blessed and pleased by all our Christmas gatherings, all the things that we do, all the things that we say. We truly want to be messengers of hope and joy and peace. Now bless us as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen.